The following was at Rock Springs, the first Sunday in February, 1969.
Unite in dear. My name's Chris. I believe Sister Palmer asked for one too, after that we get. Which one was that, Sister Palmer? You want to have the number? Well, we'll take 96 first and then we'll have the other one. What's that?
52.
All right, turn to page 52 there. Sweet, how heavenly is the sight when those who love the Lord and one another's peace delight and thus fulfill his word. Page 96.
Oh,
But it seems to me like it's been a long time since we met here. I know, of course, that with me, perhaps it is somewhat different than some of you, because unless the weather is bad or providence otherwise not permitting, we go to meeting every Sunday. But I love to come to Rock Springs. Sometimes I feel that the Lord makes himself manifest in our midst here. And when he does, it makes us want to come back another time, hoping, praying, that the Lord might manifest himself again. For there's nothing more wonderful than to love the things of the house of our God, to love the doctrine of God our Savior, and in doing that, loving those who have like precious experiences, like precious beliefs, and enjoying the very same thing. I feel, and I'm sure that some of you would feel also, that since we have been brought, as we do believe, to the knowledge of the truth and out of the darkness that is so prevalent in the world and was once within us, that there's nothing more wonderful than to love these things and to love to be with the Lord's people and to speak of his goodness and of his mercy. And yet it is a good thing to become hungry and thirsty after righteousness, after the things of our God, because it seems that when we become hungry, that sometimes we enjoy the next meal more than we had maybe at some other time. But I've experienced it, that sometimes when I felt like I was hungry, I couldn't eat. So we don't know. We don't know what the Lord has in store for us. But we do know that he knows our needs, each one of our needs. And my prayer is oftentimes that if, when I begin to think about going to a certain place, to one of the churches, that if the Lord has one or more of his little ones there, that he would have me to say a word of comfort and encouragement, that they might be built up in the most holy faith, that he is able to enable me to speak such words, and that he is also able to make the application of those things which he enables me or anyone else, as far as that's concerned, to speak. Well, that's the way we live. We're creatures of hope. We're creatures that know that we're dependent upon the grace of our God for everything. And we can't depend upon ourselves for even a good thought, much less anything else. So it is good to come to be back with you again. And if the Lord is pleased to make himself manifest in our presence, that we might feel him, feel his presence in our hearts, all to be well. I've often said, and you know true, that our God fills the immensity of space. He's everywhere present, the scripture says. He's nowhere absent. Absent, he neither slumbers nor sleeps, and there's no turning or shadow of a turn in him. So he is with us, whether we know and realize he's with us or not. I'm sure we forget that often, But as a matter of fact, he's with us all the way, in every walk of life, under every circumstance in which we find ourselves. He's with us because he is the very one who has created the circumstance for us. And he is our sufficiency. He alone is our sufficiency in and under those various and sundry and many circumstances. So we pray that he might be with us today. Now let us look to him in a word of prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, we are poor creatures here on this earth. Thou hast made us to realize what poor worms of dust we are, and that we are nothing and less than nothing in thy sight. And if we are nothing and less than nothing in our own sight, as thou hast made us to realize that we are, we often wonder just how we do appear before thee. But thou, Lord, hast been so gracious to us all the days of the years of our lives. Thou hast always provided for us, and we forget it so often. But thou hast been the one that has provided for us everything we've ever had and ever have needed. And thou dost continue to provide for us things that are natural, things that are necessary to sustain these mortal and natural bodies of ours. And we hope that we are thankful unto thee for this great blessing. And thou dost bless the whole world, the nations of the earth, thus far in these natural things. And Father, we feel that we are not deceived in the matter that thou hast done greater things for thy people in every age of the world. And that thou hast provided for them not only the natural things, but the things that they need spiritually. And in doing that, Lord, thou hast brought thy people to know, to see themselves as needy creatures, as creatures who are not sufficient of themselves for anything. And thou didst bring them, therefore, to see themselves as dead in trespasses and in sin, caused them to, and brought them through the working of these things in our hearts to see ourselves as being dead and being helpless and poor lost sinners without God and without hope in the world. But, O Lord, when thou wast pleased to bring us to that new birth in which we were born again, born of thy Spirit, having been born in nature. And now being born of thy Spirit, and thou didst open up to our understanding, and we were enabled to see the kingdom of God for the very first time. Enabled then to realize and to feel in our poor hearts that thou hadst had mercy upon us. And when we learned that Jesus was thy Son, and thou hast given him to redeem thy people, he appeared unto us as our Savior, and we were made to rejoice and to be exceedingly glad. So, Lord, we have so many things to be thankful unto thee for, and yet we are so poor and weak that we often forget thee. But we're glad that thou dost not forget us. If thou didst deal with us according to what we deserve, we realize that we wouldn't know anything of peace nor of joy, we would have no hope. But thou dost not deal with us in that way, for thou art a long-suffering God and merciful Father, and hast had mercy upon us and revealed to us thine own will and purpose in our redemption from all of our sins through that one great atonement that thy Son made when he came here into the world to do what thou hast commanded him to do. And so, Lord, we are thankful that thou hast revealed him to us as our Savior. And we pray thee, if it is thy will, that as we gather together now, that thou would stir us up and stir up our pure minds by way of remembrance of the promises that thou hast made to thy people and of those things, the wonderful things that thou hast delivered to thy people through holy men of old, thine apostles, those who thou didst enable to write and leave upon record for us the glorious doctrine of the gospel of the Son of God. We pray thee to so lead us and guide us by thy Spirit that we may be enabled to worship thee with our worship in spirit and in truth. And to give us grace each day and each hour under all the many trying circumstances in life in which these poor mortal bodies of ours fear and tremble, knowing, O Lord, sometimes that we're brought to the very end of our own strength as we wonder what tomorrow and the next moment shall bring forth. But thou hast always been a very present help in every time of need. when our heartstrings have been broken, and when we think that all is, we must just give up in despair. And yet we often, Lord, how often thou hast spoken peace in our heart, and we're made to say, to feel from the very depths of our soul, that the Lord is gracious, the Lord is good, the Lord is merciful, blessed be his name, that he looks upon such a poor one as I am, that he looks upon a vile creature, an unworthy one, unworthy that he should even take notice. And yet how graciously has been his mercy, how graciously has he bestowed his mercy upon us in giving us his only begotten Son, that he should suffer and bleed and die for us. O Lord, wilt thou look upon this little congregation this morning, because thou knowest the secret thoughts of our hearts, the secret desires, the needs, our needs, far better than we know. We know not how to pray, but somehow we just feel that thy Spirit maketh intercession for us, with groanings which cannot be uttered. And thou dost hear the prayers of thy people, and thou dost give unto them the spirit of prayer, so that they pray, and not that that we might have some little something in our flesh that we might desire, that it might be given to us of thee, but to rather, O Lord, we pray that thy will be done. For we know that whatever thy will is concerning us is good and is wonderful. Lord, be with us, therefore, and be with thy people everywhere that they gather together this morning. To pour out thy Spirit in their midst also. Because thy people, whether here or there, they need thy grace. They need thy Spirit to lead them and guide them and direct them in the way of all truth, and to enable them to worship thee in that Spirit and in that truth. The Lord remembers in mercy, and be with us while we live, and at last save us in death. We ask for Christ's sake. Amen. While I have said, and I feel that I am glad to be with you this morning, and yet I don't know that I have a thing for you in a manner of speaking, I am sometimes amazed that, occupied as I am a good bit of my time in things pertaining to the scriptures, things pertaining to the brethren in a widely scattered area, that it would seem that I would be exercised in some portion of God's word all the time. But I'll tell you, my brethren, it isn't that way. I think I am the poorest of the poor. And I feel sometimes that I have the least understanding of the things of our God than anybody that I know of. I'm amazed sometimes when I read after the brethren, and they seem to have such wonderful insight and liberty and ability given of God to write about or talk about these things. And yet sometimes and very often I am shut up and can't even think a good thought, much less talk about it. The only thing that I have in my mind at all this morning is one that is a portion of Scripture that is so wonderful. And I'm sure that if I could always feel, if we could always feel, that this is in reality and in truth is applied to us, and we are included in the thing, and the things which the apostle in Romans was so wonderfully blessed to put upon record for us, then all would be well. But I'm sure that you have the same experience that I do often, that you have to wonder about the matter. I feel that I do not question the truth of these things. I feel it's been a long time since I've had any question or any doubt in my mind as to the truth of the things that are in the Scripture. But I do have much doubt about, sometimes I do, whether I am included in it or whether these things are on me or not. And that keeps me, my brethren, in the sense of fear, which I'm sure is good, in the sense of fear. Wonderment that such doubts and such experiences keep us where that we might call it, are upon praying ground. We're kept by these fears and doubts. We're kept to the place that we must go. Somehow the Spirit leads us that way. That we must go to our God in prayer and fall down before His face, as it were, and confess our leanness, confess our unworthiness, confess our inability, and to look to Him and trust in Him and Him alone. And so it is, I feel, as I have often said, and I've more often felt, I'm sure, it is good for us when we have these doubts and fears, because otherwise we become exalted. But the Lord knows how to lift us up. He knows how to bring us down. He knows what we need. He knows what it takes in our individual cases to keep us down, keep us where we must inquire at His throne, where we must pray unto Him for grace to help in every time of need. Sometimes when we're in the very darkest hours, midnight we might call it, and it seems that He's clean gone away from us forever, and then He will appear, and what a gracious appearance it is. And when, as we've been in despair and trapped, as David said, He's clean gone forever, and yet He now comes, and worthy as we realize we are, He now comes again. He now speaks peace and joy. We rejoice and are exceedingly glad. And to know that our God hasn't really forsaken us at all, but He's only using these things to show us how good He is and how merciful He is and how unworthy we are to receive Him. How unworthy we are. As we come together, wherever we come together or whenever we come together in the capacity of trying to worship out of God, it is a most wonderful, glorious thing that we experience in our life. To come together to worship God means that we come together to hear, if it is God's will to give us to hear, and to feel also, if it's God's will to give us to feel, the truth of these things that He has laid down for us. We come, therefore, desiring to hear what the Lord says, what He says, what He has said, and what He continues to say to us in his Word. We don't come to hear what the wisdom of men have to talk about. Religious people, we can call them religious people. I remember in the inauguration, I mostly expect heard some, or saw some of that and heard it, that in their prayers, by three, four, five different ones, it seems to me like there was no prayer at all in it. It just wasn't anything, no reality in it. It was just the wisdom of men putting together words. One of them seemed to me that his prayer meant a whole lot. It did to me much better than any of the others, but we are concerned about the truth. Wisdom doesn't mean anything to us. The philosophies of men, they don't mean anything to us. We're warned against vain philosophies that men should have, and call them and have itching ears, and teaching the doctrine, the commandments of men. We're warned against those things. And so we're concerned about whether the Lord says so and so or not. We're not concerned about adding to anything or taking away from anything at all. But only whether the Lord says so and so. And whenever we find that thus saith the Lord, we may be sure and certain that the Lord has said it. Now the apostle writing in the 8th chapter of Romans, which is permitted to all of you, I know that. But if the Lord is pleased to enable me for a little while to speak concerning some of these things, I feel like I would like to do it. But I don't know. I do not feel in the moving of the Spirit, as we might say at the present time, but we'll wait and see. I read a scripture that everybody knows anything about Old Baptists, and who know that they hold to certain peculiar and particular doctrines, which others do not hold to in reality or in substance, They say, well, that's the 8th chapter of Romans is the old school Baptist, or the primitive Baptist doctrine. Well, I'm glad it is. I'm glad that that this is our doctrine, because in what I have in mind is the sum and substance of all the other things that God has revealed, and that this is called the doctrine of God our Savior. The apostle, in writing these things to the Romans, he was writing, of course, to the Gentile brethren, Gentile church, but he's also writing to us and opening up and declaring some of the wonderful, glorious things that God did for us. And he said in the beginning of the 28th verse, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, we would confess, and I've confessed, and you confess too, that we feel like we don't know anything sometimes. But under the teaching of the Spirit, under the revelation that God has given to us, brought us out of darkness and through the marvelous light, we know something. We know it because God has revealed it to us. We know it because he has opened it up to us. And so, with all of our confession of being ignorant in so many things, there are certain things that every child of God knows. And he knows it so well that there's no argument that any man in his wisdom can ever bring that would take away the feeling and the realization that we know something. And why do we know something? Because every one of us have been brought along in such a wonderful way, a mysterious way, a peculiar way. We've been brought along in such a way that we know that the Lord taught us. We know that the Lord revealed to us something. So the apostle said, for we know, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. But how do we know that all things work together for good? It is because, my brethren, we have experienced, in a manner of speaking, we've experienced all things or all manner of things. And every one of them, when the fullness of the purpose that God had in them, when he applies it to us experimentally, and whether it is bringing us to doubt and fear and temper, whether it is being called into question whether we are his children or not, when the end of that thing is, and the purpose that God has in it has been revealed, then we know that all the things that we have doubted and feared and trembled about, they have worked together for our good to bring us to see how needy we are, but how great and how merciful and how long-suffering is our God. So the apostle could say, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Now, he didn't say that all things work together for everybody. This is an experience of the children of God. For all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, this is a very distinct thing. We know that it rains upon the wicked, or the just and the unjust. We know that God deals in providence. Everyday living, everyday things, he deals with all mankind. And it's mercy he deals with them, because if God dealt with anybody, I don't care who it might be, in the church or out of the church, or in the knowledge of the truth or not in the knowledge of the truth, if God dealt with us according to what we deserve, we would not know anything except condemnation, would we? No, but he deals with his people in a most peculiar way. They are the apple of his eye. He has loved them with an everlasting love. And therefore, with loving kindness, he draws them. He draws them out. He reveals himself to them. And therefore, we can say, as Paul said here, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And so this is a definite thing to a definite people. They're working together, all things. And I have gotten, I'm sure that it is true, that the very reason, the very purpose that God had in creating the heavens and the earth was to bring his people out of this Adam generation. Now, that is hard to believe. It's impossible to believe such as that, except by the Spirit and by the teaching of the Lord. But I believe that the whole purpose that God had in creating the heavens and the earth and the fullness thereof was to make manifest his own people in the Adam generation that he loved and chose in his Son before the world began, that he might make them manifest by ordinary generation and bring them forth first in the natural birth, and then to show his great love for them in bringing them to the knowledge of the truth and bringing them into that spiritual birth. And so, when following that thought on through, when the last one of his people that he chose in his Son before the world began, when the last one of them have been born of their natural parents, and then have had the grace of God revealed to them, and they've been born of the Spirit of God, then it seems to me it must be true that the Lord our God will have no further use for this world when he's brought them all and made them all manifest in this life as being my children and the people I have loved. Then it seems to me that the time shall be no more. But that is a thought, and I don't believe it can be contradicted. But as I have said sometimes, and it has been a very wonderful and blessed thought to me, that it's always true, of course, that unless heaven begins below, and it does begin below for each one of the Lord's people, and I mean by that God always reveals unto each one of his children that they are his people. Now, he doesn't wait till after the people of the world would talk about, he doesn't wait until after the world ends and all are brought to judgment to make it manifest to his people whether they are his children or not. No, he doesn't do that. But it is said that after ye believed, the scripture says ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Well, who was sealed? The children of God were sealed. Those that he chose in his Son before the world began were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of your redemption. Yes, thank you. The earnest of your inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. So, if I'm safe in saying it is true that if a person lives all of his life here in the world and does not have the wonderful and glorious manifestation of God's grace in his heart to be sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which means to be given the hope of eternal life. If a person lives and dies without that hope, we need not expect ever that person shall come into heaven in immortal glory, because heaven, in my way of putting it, begins below. There is a manifestation. There is a drawing out. The Lord adds to the church daily such as should be saved. And so this is the work of God, the work of God that you believe on him whom he sent. And so we know these things, do we not? Why, how many people could come to your house or sit down and talk with you for 5 hours or half a day or all day long and convince you contrary to the things that have been impressed in your heart? When he got on, you just said, well, you have it your way, I have it mine, I just can't see what you see, and I don't believe what you say you believe. Now we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Now he said all things, not just some things, he said all things. So your doubts, your fears, your tremblings, and your rejoicings, and your downsittings, your uprisings, all of these things are working together for good. Yes, for to them who love the Lord, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So there's nothing. Well, we probably couldn't put our finger on and say that certain things that have come in our lives have been for our good, but nevertheless, all we know that all things, because all things are a part of and according to the eternal will and the purpose of God. So all things are working together. Yes, and they're accomplishing. It takes everything to accomplish the will and the purpose of our God. You know that the expression that it takes every wheel and every bearing in the watch to make that watch work and keep accurate time. So it takes everything. Your down sitting, your uprising, everything else it takes them all to work together for your good. Yes, it's God has a purpose in all these things. Then he goes on and gives some particulars. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, I know that that I had been asked, shortly after I came to Baltimore, I was asked concerning this scripture by one. He said, do you believe, or what do you believe about the 8th chapter of Romans, where which says, for we know that all things work together for good. What do you believe about it? I said to this person, I believe exactly what it says. It says all things, that works together for good. And I just believe that the Spirit of God enabled the apostle to write it, and being true, that all things work together. But he says, you know, that a lot of people say that he's only talking about five or six different particulars that he mentions here, that he only including that. Well, I at the time we didn't discuss it because I saw that we did not see it light. But I hope that if the Lord gives me to remember it, I hope to bring something concerning that thought, that it is all things he's talking about, not just some.
The tape ran out at this point, so we had to conclude it here.